It's a pastoral encounter I had in the last few months, and I want to use it as an illustration throughout this message. I received a phone call at about 6 o'clock one evening from a previous commanding officer of mine to ask me if I would be willing to come to the hospital when they turned the life support machine off on their three-month-old son who had contracted bacterial meningitis. And there's nothing nice about that situation. There's no words you can say. And I know I was just sitting in the car driving into the hospital where I was going to meet with this family for the inevitable action that had taken was about to take place. And I knew I had nothing to say. I had nothing that I could make a difference. There are no platitudes that you can give at a time like that that make any difference at all. There are no clever words. There are no poems which are appropriate. There are no... even prayer in the context was challenging and difficult. I couldn't even imagine what I would pray and how I would go about it. And so I was walking into the situation. I'm not in any way making this about me, because it was incredible. As hard as it was for me, my difficulty doesn't even approach the difficulty of the parents. And so I walked in and I was greeted by them. They thanked me for coming and I sat down and I talked to them. We were holding the young child in... They were holding the young child in their arms. And I just spent time sitting with them. And the doctors were amazing. The pediatrician came in, a pediatric specialist came in and talked to them again and just let them have their time. They had put them carefully aside and allowed them to have space. And so the decision was taken and the time was right. And so they turned the machines off and they were warned that it could take a little bit of time and that it might not be altogether peaceful. And they turned the machines off and still the child continued to breathe. And for 45 minutes, the child continued to breathe. But the breathing got shallower and shallower. And for 2 hours, the child continued to breathe. And at that point, I had various points of conversation and I'd been asked to pray for the family and they'd said goodbye and they were just waiting out for the inevitable to happen. And they actually got to a point where they were comfortable in the situation and they said, "We're actually okay now, Padre. If you want to come and see us tomorrow, that would be great," because they knew it was going to happen. And I left at that point. I spoke to the doctor and 45 minutes after I had left, the child finally passed into eternity. And I was invited to do the funeral a few days later and I conducted the funeral. It was one of the most moving funerals that I'd ever been at, and the eulogy that was shared at the funeral was just the most incredible illustration of processed grief I had ever seen in my life, where the father got up and he talked about the loss of his son, this three-month-old son, but he didn't talk about the loss of his three-month-old son. He talked about the loss of his wife and himself of what that son was going to be and the possibility of that son and the times that he's not going to see. And he articulated beautifully and incredibly movingly about the fact that he wasn't going to see him sitting in the seat next to him giving him a driving lesson, and he wasn't going to see him playing with his brothers, and he wasn't going to see him going to school, and he wasn't going to see him go on his first date, and he wasn't going to take him to his first formal. And he'd processed this over a period of a couple of days. I'd had a couple of conversations with him. I was pretty unimportant in those conversations, but he had obviously had time to think. And all I was there doing was just facilitating his grief and the grief of so many others. If you ever had to do a funeral for a child that age, you know they are some of the best attended funerals. As we get older, we have less people turn up at our funerals. My goal is to live so long that I'm the only one at my funeral. but it seems there's something just that takes everyone's mind and heart, and they come together. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is What do we leave behind us? In our pastoral encounters, in our chaplaincy encounters, what is actually left when we leave the room? Because I believe that there is something inherently possible and inherently powerful that the Bible actually promises us can be left behind if we allow it to be. But if you want just your personality to be left behind, or you, awesome chaplain man or awesome chaplain woman, to be left behind as a hero, that will be what's left behind. But if you want something lasting that truly makes a difference, I think we have a potential for something higher than that. I'm a great guy, okay? But I can't change the world. I'm intelligent, witty, okay? But I can't change. I'm also humble. But I can't make a difference to anyone, really. But the Bible says I can. And so I want to explore that tonight and ask the question, what is following you? So take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Psalms, or Psalm. Psalm 23, really well-known scripture. You probably can recite it. We'll have it up on the board. There it is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The verse I want to focus on tonight is that verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So I want to talk about a couple of things tonight. I want to talk firstly about the concept of what are you following? Okay, the first question I have for you tonight, just the next slide please. What are you, no, the one before that, that's the one. What are you following? Thank you. What are you following? We spend a lot of time thinking about this as Christians. We, as disciples, as devoted disciples of Christ, I hope we're following Jesus. I hope that you never forget that. As a leader, as a pastor, as a chaplain, you never forget the fact that you are meant to be following Jesus. We are Christ followers. We are followers of the way. We are meant to be doing that. We are that is what sets us apart from anyone else. And while we could spend a whole lot of time tonight considering that question, I want to just consider a different question. And that question is, what is actually following you? What is following you? It's not a leadership message. I'm not preaching about, are you a good leader? Okay, because some of us are leaders and some chaplains are leaders. For the most part, most chaplains are not so much in the leadership side of the ministry task, as they are on the ministry side of the task. And sometimes we can get a bit proud and arrogant about that and we think that we don't need leadership. And I'll tell you, if you don't have leadership around you, you are in trouble as a chaplain. And we need to be very careful that we always are respectful and honouring those that are called to lead, because we need leaders and we need to be following leaders. But my question to you tonight is, what is actually following you? What is there and present in your life that is actually being left as an impact that's following you? You know, the idea of being a follower, if we can have the next slide, thank you. No, the one before that, sorry. The guys all lining up. That's all right, that's fine. The idea of following is incredibly important. And to be a good follower, to be a good follower is actually a skill. We spend a lot of time talking about leadership, and it's great to actually be a good leader. But I don't think we spend enough time talking about followership, which is the ability to follow a leader. And when God actually has impacted and inspired somebody to be a leader over you, like, say, Lloyd in the area of chaplaincy in New Zealand, it's not just Lloyd's responsibility to be a good leader, it's actually the responsibility of everyone else to get in line. And I'm not talking a big, heavy message on submission or telling you that no matter what Lloyd does, he's right, because he won't always be right. Most of the time he will be. And a lot of the time he'll have reasons for doing things that need to be understood. But you actually need to recognize that there is a dynamic here about what is actually going on in your life. What is happening? What are you following, and what is following you? Now I'll have the ship picture. Thank you. The message I have for you tonight is really simple, and that is the question, what is following you? And it fits in with what was spoken about today in the session where we talked about the treaty. And we were talking about rowing a boat and looking behind to understand where you're going. Okay? And I want to challenge your thinking tonight just about what God is actually leaving as a deposit after you leave. A large ship leaves a wake. The larger the ship, the bigger the wake. In fact, an ocean liner leaves such a significant wake that satellite pictures and satellite imagery can pick up the wake of a ship for up to 150 kilometres on a still ocean after some of these large tankers. And that's how they find the tanker. Often they will look for the wake, and that will be able to tell them how fast the ship's moving and where it's going. Your wake is actually your fingerprint, it's the DNA, the evidence that's left after your interaction with someone. And I want to challenge you about what are you leaving behind? Is it a good message or is it a bad message? Is it a good interaction or a bad interaction? Because people think just because they're a chaplain or because they've got a chaplain badge that everything they say and everything they do is positive. And I want to challenge you, you actually take skill to have a good pastoral interaction. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a chaplain, whether you're a pastoral care worker, whatever it is, you actually need to get good at this ministry. You need to work at it, and you need to be constantly reflecting on what is actually being left behind, because there are other options of what can be left behind. Can I have the next photo, thanks? This is a wake that could be left behind. This is in the south of France. And as you see, right from the top there, that boulder has taken a bit of a journey. It's come down the hill. It's taken out the back garden completely. It's taken out the garage of the house, which is now gone. And it's rolled down through the paddock and left a swathe of destruction. And now it's in the front. Now imagine waking up to that in your front garden. It's there, and you think, that wasn't there this morning. That wasn't there yesterday. That wave of destruction. Now, how many of you want to live a life that leaves that sort of destruction? None of us. But how many of you have encountered people that have left that sort of, had that sort of situation where that's what's left after them? I've got another illustration of what might be left. This is in Arkansas. If you have a close look at that, that's the path of a tornado that has come right the way through the middle of Arkansas and just left a 100-kilometre path of destruction behind it. Houses 200 metres this way, not even damaged. 200 metres that way, not even damaged. Some of them are even a trailer park, not even damaged, but houses right through the middle, just completely left behind. I do not want my ministry to look like that. I don't want people to say, you know, what just happened? Oh, it must have been Ralph. He's come through again. He's caused all sorts of problems. He comes and visits the hospital and everyone's in turmoil. All the crazy ones are more crazy. All the happy ones are sad. All the sad ones are angry. I don't want to leave a path of destruction like that. I don't want people to be worse off when I'm finished with them. I don't want my life to have a tombstone which reads, "We're glad he's gone." I don't want that. That's not my portion. I want to have a better portion than that. You can leave a bad taste behind you if you don't allow God to work through you. And you might say, but I'm a Christian, that's never going to happen. Well, this is a bedroom of a teenage Christian. That's a wake, isn't it? Anyone seen one of those wakes maybe in your house? It's not one of our children, by the way. It's just, this is a picture I've taken off of Dr. Google. I've just found, you know, I just looked for train wreck bedroom and this was it that came up. You can live any way you want. You can leave a path of destruction behind you, or you can leave a path of blessing behind you. And the choice is absolutely up to you. And I want to challenge your thinking today, because God's actually got something better for you. Now, just to bring this home, I have another illustration for you. This is my toothpaste. Okay, and a few months ago, there was a little bit of an issue at our house. Just a little bit of one. We have 6 adults that live at our house, and I'm one of them. And my wife came out of the bathroom, which is shared by 2 of the adults. She's one, and I'm the other. And she came out of the bathroom with this tube of toothpaste, and she just grabbed all the kids together, and she called it a family meeting, and she said, "Who does that?" That was her comment. "Who does that? Who treats toothpaste like that? Who squeezes the toothpaste in the middle of..." This was an important issue, okay? This was a significant and important issue. And then this ensued a discussion as to whether this was the correct way to squeeze toothpaste, or whether you roll the toothpaste. So can I have any rollers in the house? Just put your hand up for a second. Can I have the squeezers in the middle who don't care and think it's completely appropriate? You guys are with me, I'll buy you coffee tomorrow morning. Okay. You're a squeezer? Fantastic, Zach. Oh, you're both? Okay, good. That's fine. So, I did not realise that this was such an issue. And this toothpaste has taught me something, that I'm leaving an impact behind me wherever I go. And I didn't realise. I've been married to this woman for over 30 years, 32 years this week, in fact. And she doesn't like that. And I just found that out. That's amazing. But I've been leaving an impact for probably 32 years that I didn't know, because I hadn't reflected on it. So I'm going to present that to you as a gift this morning. Actually, I'll keep it because I will need it later. So my question is, the ship's wake, the boulder running down the cliff, the teenage bedroom, the path of destruction after the tornado, that was the other one, or the toothpaste. What are you leaving behind you? What's actually being left behind you? When you leave, what are people remembering? I thought I was awesome, and when I left the house, everyone thought I was super dad. But I realise now that there was a different wake left behind me. And so, making this actually quite practical, I want to challenge you again to think about verse 6 of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I've always read it as just a promise of good things to come. You know, everything's going to be fine, because surely goodness and mercy follow me every day of my life. It's going to be great. And so I've always read it as a promise. I've always read it as something to look forward to. But I actually found myself reading it as a challenge. Surely goodness and mercy follow me. And if they're not, then it's my responsibility to make sure that is what's following me. That goodness is what flows out of me. That mercy is what people are left. When I interact with people on a pastoral level, on a chaplaincy level, or on a human level, I want to leave them with something. I want to leave my children, my 4 kids, and however many 1,000 grandchildren I hope to eventually have, I want to leave them with an impact that says, Ralph left behind him goodness and mercy. It followed him. And I think it's actually a promise in this scripture. It's actually something that's powerful that we can take hold of. And in your chaplaincy ministry, imagine if every interaction that you had with people, they were left with goodness and mercy. How good would that be? How wonderful would that be if they were actually, when you left, they said, wow, I've just been left with goodness. I've been left with mercy. I've been left with things which are tangible, which make a difference, rather than I've been left with a messy bedroom, or I've been left with a squeezed tube of toothpaste in the middle. And it's up to us to actually make that choice. So what did I leave that family with as I walked away as their son is dying? They probably didn't even give me a second thought, to tell you the truth, about that day. But I did hear them a few weeks later talk to me and share with me how important it was that they were able to have someone come. And it was actually a testimony to the goodness of God that in the midst of that moment where I had nothing to give them, they felt that I left them with something that was helpful. And that's a privilege. And I don't know if you realize how much of a privilege your chaplaincy encounter is, your pastoral encounter. When you are invited into a situation of intense grief, how sacred that spot is. Because not a lot of people get invited in. Not a lot of people are allowed to interact with people at those critical points. And so whatever role you are fulfilling, I want to challenge you that it's actually something that we need to be really careful of. So I've got some simple points for us this evening to just clarify our thinking. And the first one is, what you follow closely will actually be left behind. The scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now shepherds are all about having the sheep follow them. Now I'm not a farmer, I've never been a farmer, but I've studied a lot about sheep because the Bible talks about sheep a lot. And so it's good to know. And if the Lord is going to be called my shepherd, I want to know what the responsibilities of the sheep are. And the main responsibility of the sheep, sheep are not renowned for being the most intelligent creatures on the face of the planet. And I think it's a great analogy to the people God's got following him that he calls us sheep. Okay, it really is. It's really good. I'm glad that all the intelligence and all the responsibility is on the shepherd and nothing much is on the sheep. Really, the sheep hear his voice, know his name, follow him to green pastures and great, beautiful waters and are looked after by the shepherd. It's a wonderful deal. I'm really happy for it. But the fact is, if you don't follow, you get lost. You get isolated and you end up afraid and alone. Now, the shepherd is so good that he'll often come and get us, as with the parable of the 99 and the one sheep that went lost. And we've all been the one sheep probably at some time in our life, and we've all been reached out to by Christ. But the reality is, if you follow the Lord closely, goodness should actually flow out of you. But if you're following something else is going to flow out of you. The scripture says that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. So whatever you put in your heart, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, whatever your heart's filled with, is what's going to flow out from you. So all the more important that the chaplain, the pastor, the leader, the carer, is actually filling their heart with the right things. What are you following? Because that's what's going to follow you. If you are filling your heart with defeated things, out of the defeated man's heart, the defeated man brings forth defeated things. Out of the doubtful man's heart, the doubtful man will bring forth doubtful things. Out of the angry man's heart, the angry man will bring forth angry things. Whatever you fill this with is what's going to follow out from you. And so don't be surprised when something comes out of you, because it really is what you've been putting into you. But it's good sometimes to look behind you and say, what's coming out? What's coming? What's in my wake? What's actually flowing out from me? Because if you're finding that every time you walk into a situation, there's church dissent, and it's happened four times, the last four churches you've been to are terrible because there's all these problems in them. Well, hang on, there might be a common denominator there. And it might not be the churches you're having problems with. It might be you. And I have met so many people over decades of leadership where they are constantly complaining about everyone else, but they're not realizing just how and what is flowing out of them, because what they're following is actually the wrong thing. So I know most of you are, if not all of you, are in a good place in your Christian walk, and this is a word of merely encouragement tonight, and I'm not necessarily trying to correct anyone, but I do want to challenge you that if you follow closely, whatever you follow closely will be left behind. Mark 16, if we read it in this context, Mark 16, 17 actually sounds a little different. It says, these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will come after those that believe. And in my name they will cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But it's those who believe. So we have to fill our life with belief. We have to fill our life with faith in order for those things to happen. You can't just be and expect them to happen. You have to be following something. You have to be filling your life with something. And unless you're filling and truly allowing it to come into your heart, then your chaplaincy ministry is doomed to failure, or at best doomed to your personality, or doomed to your best guess. And I want to tell you, no one needs my best guess. No one needs my personality. No one can be changed or transformed by the hope that I inherently have in myself, because it's not enough. Because I was a big mess without Jesus, and I'll be a big mess if I lose Jesus. And so will you be. So don't look at me in those funny voices, those funny eyes and yours, okay? Right, the second thing I want to say tonight, and I said this was a very simple message, but I think the ramifications of it are not simple. So the first thing is that what you follow closely will be left behind, but following surely leads to surely following. And what I mean by this is, again, simple. The scripture says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So the shepherd is this great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why will I not want? Well, because the Lord takes me to places that are beneficial for me. But what if we stop being taken to the places that are beneficial for us? I know so many people in professional ministry, and some of you are paid to do ministry, and so you are in professional ministry. And I know a lot of people in professional ministry who just get good at doing it. And you just can go through the motions. And no matter what that ministry is, whether it's being a worship leader or whether it's being a preacher, you can actually just do it out of your own strength after a while. You give me 4 hours and a topic and a quiet room and I can write you a sermon without praying. Okay, why? Because I've done it for 30 years. And I can just do it. And it won't necessarily, you might not even be able to tell the difference between one that I've prayed over for a week or one I haven't. But I'll know the difference, and the Holy Spirit will know the difference, and the outcome will be different. But you won't not be able to tell the difference between the two. And I'll tell you, as a chaplain, I can walk into a hospital room where a child is dying, and I can do it out of my own skill, and I can do it out of my own flesh, and you might not be able to tell the difference. But I'll know the difference, and the Holy Spirit will know the difference, and the fruit will be different. And what we need to recognize is we need to be truly following. Following surely. Because if we follow surely, then these things will surely follow. Goodness and mercy will surely follow me. They will promise. It's a promise from God that he'll do it. But he makes me lie down in green pastures. This is about feeding on good food. This is about being in church regularly, hearing the Word of God preached. This is about reading your Bible every day. This is about allowing yourself to actually be renewed by the food God wants to give. Now, if any of us have had children, we know that we wanted them to eat the food that they were given, and it was important for us that they did so. Now, when I grew up, it was so important that you had to sit there until the food was cold and you weren't allowed to leave the table, and you couldn't never have your ice cream until you'd finished your peas. You were not allowed. That's the way it was meant to be. And I think sometimes that going a bit far. I still have this insane compulsion to never say no to ice cream now because of that. And that's the reason. That's the reason. It's a psychological thing which I'm working on. But The reality is that we are what we eat. And God actually wants us to feed. And if you're not disciplined about your feeding, you will not have anything flowing out of you that's of any value. Do you know how many people just don't read their Bible anymore? I am shocked. It might be an Australian thing, okay? I might be completely offline here. I'm here over the other side of the world, travelled so far from home, and I'm in a foreign country with names and words I can't pronounce, can't understand. You say things differently to me. Maybe this is a totally different scenario, but in Australia, a lot of Christians have stopped reading their Bible. And they're not better off for it. I certainly hope there's not a chaplain in this room that has lost the love of the Word of God. I certainly hope there's no pastors here that are surviving off of lastminutesermon.com rather than reading the Word. I certainly hope we, none of us have lost that passion to surely follow what Christ wants us to follow and devour what Christ is actually wanting to do in our life, because that's the green pastures. And you can't have verse 6 if you don't have the previous 6 verses. You can't have "the Lord is my shepherd" unless you're allowing Him to be your shepherd, unless you're actually following Him. You can't have the outflow of your life happening if you do not allow yourself to lay down in green pastures where God wants you. It says He leads me beside the still waters. There is a great need, and one of the things I've loved this last 2 days has just been I can sense that a number of you are just hungry for a presence of the Holy Spirit. You just want the Holy Spirit to touch your life. Praise God. Fantastic. Go for that. Never lose that. Actually reach out to God, because He's the one that makes the difference to us. He's the one that energizes our chaplaincy. And sometimes, you know, we can feel quite isolated. And I talked to you this morning about that. And I've been challenged numerous times in the last few months that we have to be really careful that we keep that spiritual edge whilst walking the tightrope of not being able to preach necessarily and not being able to say much. But I don't want to be someone who's just a nice guy, like our session this afternoon. I don't want to just be friendly. I don't want to be a social worker. I could have done that. I'm called to be something more than that. You're called to be something more than that. Let's make sure that we never satisfy ourselves with just having a conversation for the sake of it, but we're actually looking for something to be left behind us at the end. If you follow surely, then you can be certain of great things surely following you. Surely following you. And that's really my point tonight. And that is that we need to make our wake worth encountering. The wake of our life, because you will leave something behind you. But hopefully it will be something that's worth encountering. Your testimony actually speaks after you leave the room. Whether you like it or not, people talk about you. I was recently deployed to the Middle East for a short period. I wasn't in a forward operating zone or anything particularly Gucci or exciting. I was just at an operating base where people were moving through, and I was looking after the troops on the way in and the way out. So it was a good opportunity, but it wasn't anything particularly, don't be frightened, it wasn't anything dangerous. But while I was away, my job was looked after by somebody else. And I want to be really careful here, because he's a nice guy. But he left the wake for me when I got home. Okay? And I walked around my unit, and the answer, the thing that they said to me was, "Oh, you're back, Padre." I said, "Yeah, I'm back." They said, "Oh, good." I said, "Okay, why is that?" He says, "Oh, well, the guy that, you know, looked after the place while you were gone." I said, "Yeah, what?" He said, "He's weird." "He's weird." I was told by no less than 60 people in my unit how weird this guy was. And I asked, because I was interested, not because I was trying to unhinge this guy in any way, but just because I was interested in what he wasn't doing that I was doing that I didn't. Because they never told me I've done a good job. Okay, never told me I've done a good job. But they told me that this guy had done a bad job. So that told me that maybe I'm doing an alright job. And I wanted to find out what he was doing so I don't make the same mistakes as he was doing. And it was so subtle and so simple what he was doing wrong. He hung around for too long in certain circumstances. He sat in on meetings he wasn't invited to sit in on. He smiled too much. He told inappropriate stories about, not inappropriate as in rude stories, but just stuff that didn't relate to where people were at. And he seemed more interested in being liked than actually having a real connection with people. And they were the five things that they said of this individual. And I thought, well, and this is where this message came out of. It was this idea of, what are you leaving behind? That chaplain is utterly unaware of all of those things. Because I don't think he's ever looked behind him to look at the wake he's leaving. And this is a hard message today for you, because I'm actually going to challenge you to look behind you and really think about what's being left behind you. Because you might think you are awesome super chaplain. And I might think I am the best chaplain in the universe. But the reality might be that I might be leaving waves in my wake that are causing discomfort for those that I'm ministering to. And the only way I can avoid those waves of discomfort is by doing the first two things. By truly following, by closely following, and following in a way that allows God to actually impact me day by day in every way I go, in every step I take. I said that your testimony speaks after you leave the room. It says this in Psalm 48, verse 13. Mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. So you can tell it to the generation following. The generation that follows you wants to see something. They want to be led. They want to have something to reach for. They want to have something to encourage. They want to have something that lifts them up. But you've got to recognize that what you do is actually is left behind you. Another good example of this is the man Ananias in the scriptures. And not the one that was married to Sapphira that ended up dying, but the other Ananias, the certain Ananias. It says, Acts 22, verse 11, then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, had a good testimony with all the Jews that dwelt there. You actually have a testimony, whether you know it or not. You have a testimony. If you're working in the hospital, the nurses talk about you when you leave the room. Get used to it. You might not know what they say, but I'm hoping it's something good. If you're working in the prison, the prisoners have a testimony about you. The corrective services staff have a testimony about you. You leave something behind you, and you need to actually think, what am I leaving behind me? And if you have the opportunity, you should ask, and you should get reviewed as often as you possibly can. In the army, I get a 6-monthly review. Every 6 months, I'm sat down in front of 3 senior officers who talk to me about how I'm doing in the unit. And they're allowed to talk to me about anything. And my leadership is challenged. My pastoral care is challenged. My goals are challenged. How I'm interacting with and I have an opportunity to take that on board or to ignore it. And if you get an opportunity for some sort of formal review, you should grab hold of it. Because the most important thing is what you leave behind. I know you think that the actual ministry you do makes all the difference, but it's not. It's when you leave, what are they left with? Because you walk out of the disaster situation after meeting with them, what are the people left with? Now, they often don't remember your name. One of the great things I love about chaplaincy is that often people will start a conversation with me in the army thinking that they've already spoken to me because the last chaplain helped them, and so they automatically assume I'm the same chaplain and I'm going to help them. And that's a great testimony of chaplaincy, is when it goes from one to another and they don't even... I'm invisible. It really doesn't matter because the last guy or the last girl did a good job. Hopefully they can tell the difference between a female chaplain and a male chaplain, but that's a different story. It would be great if we could just be invisible. But if we could all leave a good wake. So what are you leaving behind? What are you leaving behind in your church? What are you leaving behind with your pastor? So if you're a chaplain in a church, sometimes chaplains in churches have experience and they articulate frustration at their senior pastors. They say, oh, he doesn't understand chaplaincy. Well, it's not his job to understand chaplaincy. It's your job to understand chaplaincy. And don't hold that against him or her for not understanding chaplaincy, and don't criticise them because they're not a chaplain, because they're not called to be a chaplain. They're called to be doing that leadership role. And I've been pastoring a church for the last 27 years. I want to tell you, it is much harder now than it was 27 years ago. You almost need to have a degree in ministry and a degree in management to run a church nowadays. It is so complicated and so many things drawing at your attention that I'll tell you, as a chaplain, you live and breathe and pray for chaplaincy all the time. And that's good. You should do that. But honour your pastor who releases you to do that and encourages you to do that and is happy for you to do that, but don't expect them necessarily to do what you do. We need to be really careful and we need to make sure that honour is given where honour is due. And I have this dual role where I'm both, and so I see the tension. And yes, I understand that chaplains are different to pastoral ministry in lots of different ways, but we need to hold the two in tension because we need to work together because we've got such a future together and such a good thing to happen, and we need to have that right attitude. So what am I saying? I'm saying tonight that your choice makes a difference. What you choose to leave behind is actually what's going to be left behind. If you simply go through your ministry and your life with an attitude that says, I like squeezing my toothpaste like this, and I don't care what anyone else thinks, then be ready for that to leave a bad taste in someone's mouth. If toothpaste can leave a bad taste in your mouth, of course. But if you want to have a life that actually makes a difference to an individual, and even in the worst possible situations where you have nothing, like my situation with that young family, where I really had nothing, I dreaded driving towards that hospital. As I walked up the stairs, I found my throat dry. I found myself just feeling like I wished I could be anywhere else. I just wanted to go home and hug my own children. That's all I wanted to do, but I knew I had a task I had to do. And I walked in and I had nothing. I felt like I did nothing, but the outcome was goodness and mercy. Why? Because I'd put the time in and I was in the right place and I allowed that to flow out of me because that's the promise of God. The promise of God upon your life is that surely, everyone say surely, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's my promise. That's the reality. That's what we can leave with today, that these things will follow us if we allow it to. Or we can choose the next picture, please. We can choose that if we want to. Who wants that rather than goodness and mercy? Not one person in this room. Who wants the children's bedroom to look like that? Not one of us wants that. We don't want that to follow us, but we do want goodness and mercy to follow us. So make your wake worth encountering tonight. I've got a little bit more time tonight, but I'm not going to preach for any longer. I feel like I've done what the Lord wanted me to do. I feel like I've said what the Lord wanted me to say, so I will always honour that and just stop there. But I do want to pray for you tonight. And maybe we might take a little bit of time for some ministry tonight. But what I want to leave you with is this, that you have a possibility of leaving behind you goodness and mercy. But it's up to you to cultivate that in your life. When I leave from here on Sunday afternoon, after being here for a few days of ministry, I hope that what's left behind is not, oh, Ralph's a great preacher, or Ralph's an awesome guy. I hope really that goodness and mercy are left. Because that's what the Lord promises. That's what I hope actually flows out of me. And I hope what flows out of you is the same. Because imagine if every Christian actually allowed that passage of Scripture to be real in their life. Imagine if every time a person from the world interacted with a Christian, that they were left with goodness and mercy. How do you think our press would look then? How do you think the world's attitude towards Christians would be if every time they had an interaction with a Christian, they just felt goodness and mercy? If we all just lived up to it, if we all just lived up to being good according to God's plan and being merciful according to God's love. I know it's idealistic, but hey, I'm idealistic. Let's reach for that. So, Father, I thank you for your hand on us tonight. I thank you for your desire in our hearts, Lord, to actually make us better individuals and make us more effective in our ministries, Lord. Whether we are chaplains or whether we're pastors or leaders, whether we're just embarking on the idea of being a leader or a chaplain, Father, whether we're here just because we're on the team and we've just served tonight and we just want to be a good Christian, Lord God, may we actually allow this attitude to be ours, Lord. That the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside still waters. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I want you to stand with me tonight. Just lift your hands to the Lord tonight. I want to just pray for a few groups of people. Firstly, I want to pray for those that are willing to be honest enough and say that they haven't been following as surely as they should have been following. Maybe you've let your Bible reading just drop off. Maybe you've become a little bit more professional and relying on your gifts and your talents more than the Spirit of God. And it's a bold thing to confess that, but it's a life-changing thing when you do. I've done it many times. I've realized that I've given myself over to just being good at this rather than actually allowing God to move through me. If that's you tonight, just raise your hands to God and just say, Lord, I just want a fresh touch from you. I want to encounter you in a new way. I don't want to just be good at what I do. I want you to flow through me. I don't want to just be a professional minister of the gospel. I want to be an authentic Christian that is flowing in joy and love and life. Holy Spirit, you're just welcome in this place, just to flow amongst us and to minister to these individuals, Lord God. So many of them, Lord, are just reaching out and asking you to do something in them that they might be inspirational to others, but that the others won't even see them, they'll see you, Lord God. Oh, Father, I just ask you so much today, tonight, Lord God, just to pour out your goodness upon us, to refresh them, Lord Jesus. Just receive from the Holy Spirit tonight. Receive that which he has for you and expect something good to come. Expect the goodness and mercy of God to come. Expect the refreshment and life of God to flow through you. Oh Lord, I just thank you for these sheep, Lord God, that are following you. I thank you for their ministries to you, Lord. And Lord, I look to the future when we look back behind what's happening in chaplaincy across New Zealand, Lord God, and we see a wake that goes for miles, Lord. And it is a fantastic wake. It brings joy to people, and it brings life to people, and it brings hope to people. I pray, Father, for individuals in this room who are maybe struggling tonight and maybe just needing a touch from you, Lord. I pray that you would touch them and reach them in a new and powerful way. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come, touch them, Lord Jesus. Touch them. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord God. Have your way. It's not the words of man that you need. It's just the refreshment of the Spirit of God you need. It's not the touch of man that you need. It's actually the Spirit of God that you need. The shepherd is here. I'm not your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. The word is true. You will not want. But only if you let him lead you to green pastures, to lead you to still waters, to restore your soul. If you just need restoration tonight, just breathe it in tonight. Take it from the Holy Spirit. He's here restoring you. He's anointing your head with oil. Your cup runs over. A cup can only run over whilst it's constantly being filled. So let him fill you now, and then let him fill you again. Father, I speak these words of your scriptures over my brothers and sisters tonight as a prophecy and as a promise, Lord. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Thank you.